Catholic Charities of Oregon, along with Lutheran Community Services Northwest and Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon, we are the three refugee resettlement agencies in Oregon. What that means is we have relationships and contracts with the federal government, because refugee resettlement is only through partnership and the authority of the federal government. And our three organizations will be welcoming the individuals that the government is able to evacuate and determine that they have the need to be resettled because they can't go back home. Because, you know, as we know, been watching the news, the people who are trying to leave Afghanistan are fearing for their safety and their lives and the lives of their family members. And so when they arrive here, we'll be the ones to help make sure that they're getting back on their feet and rebuilding their lives.
And that puts you in all hands on deck mode, I'm guessing, that, you know, this is a very busy time for you guys. You probably sometimes work in spurts in terms of floods and, you know, different events that might present more refugees than normal. Is now different from other times? That's a tough question. Yeah. Let me just ask you.
No, I hear you.
How busy are you?
Yeah. What we are doing is really making sure that whatever is happening, I'm going to say it differently, that we are as best prepared as we can be and as we need to be to make sure that the services we provide are really robust, that our teams are ready for some of the unknowns in terms of just exactly how many individuals are going to be coming to Portland and over what time frame. I think that is for us what we're really trying to be prepared for is, you know, over the course of a given year, Oregon might resettle and welcome, you know, in 2016, if you go back, it was 1,800 individuals. Last year is a couple of hundred. So there's a capacity growth that we're all trying to build up and meet. And we don't know exactly how many individuals are going to be evacuated from Kabul and from Afghanistan. So we also don't know how many are going to be coming here. So we want to be as best prepared as we can be. And that's what we're working on right now.
What does that look like? So you have people coming from Afghanistan, and therefore you have a language barrier. When you have an influx of refugees from a particular country, do you have to get interpreters and people that understand the culture? Do you have to draw in other people to help?
Yeah, working with community partners that are community organizations that are closely either in direct relationship or directly serving the Afghan community from, you know, community-led organizations. We're reaching out to those organizations and to those community members. We have job opportunities right now that we would love to strengthen our team by hiring individuals who have lived experience of being refugees from Afghanistan or the special immigrant visa holders from Afghanistan. Those were the individuals that worked as interpreters alongside our armed forces and our government in Afghanistan. So working in close partnership with them is key to making sure that our services and the ability for us to respond in a really holistic and trauma-informed way, that's the best way to meet some of those needs.
We're talking with the Director of Refugee Services for Catholic Charities of Oregon, Matthew Westerbeck. You mentioned that you do work hand-in-hand with the federal government. So what is your legal immigration process, and how do you help people get into the U.S. settled as legal immigrants?
So refugees have been screened and vetted overseas over a course of many, oftentimes over many, many years. And the visa for a refugee is actually the hardest visa for any individual to obtain to enter this country. There is no other visa that has the same number of interviews and background checks and security screenings. So all refugees have been going through that process and been doing so with offices and staff from different federal agencies. And our role is to receive them and welcome them and help them rebuild their lives after they arrive, have gone through that process, and have been welcomed into the United States by our government.
Okay, yeah, you take it from there.
Exactly.
Do you set up homes for them? I mean,
yeah.
Do you have people that they live with almost like an exchange student, or how does that work?
Both. Definitely, we are charged with finding all of our families housing that is permanent and that they can afford. Some of the individuals that are going to be arriving have family and or friends here that might be able to offer either both short-term or long-term housing. Definitely family and friends here of individuals who are going to be arriving from Afghanistan. Some of those individuals and families will be able to host, and that's either short-term or long-term, depending on the situation. Definitely there's going to be some family reunifications, and we're looking forward to helping those families reunite. Housing, employment services, connection to schools, making sure everybody is getting the medical care and attention that they need. Those are some of the core services that we're required to provide.
And then jobs and food,
right.
And education and everything. There's a lot that goes into that, I'm guessing.
Yes, and that's why we work with a lot of community partners on English language classes, different types of employment services or degree recredentialing for those individuals that have professional degrees from their countries, working really in close relationship with the other two resettlement agencies, with a lot of the community-based organizations, with IRCO, the Immigrant Refugee Community Organization. We work in partnership with the Oregon Department of Human Services, but it's a really broad service network. And what's going to also be needed is a lot of community support and volunteerism. And we're looking forward to providing opportunities. We're receiving a lot of calls from community members wondering how they can help.
Oh, you have? You've already been receiving calls on this?
Yeah, we are literally, I would say, responding to 20 to 30 calls a day and emails a day. And it's wonderful to see the outpouring of support and people offering temporary housing, people offering help setting up apartments, people wanting to donate household goods and furniture. Just the community engagement and outpouring of support is greatly heartwarming. It's going to be needed. You know, I think as we look at the potential for individuals leaving Afghanistan and trying to seek safety in the months ahead, I anticipate Oregon, along with the rest of the country, having a need to respond.
Indeed. What kind of shape or mindset is a refugee often in once they do get to you? They've been through a process, they've traveled, everything else, they're already having stress from their homeland. What kind of mindset are they in, and how long does it take them to transition?
That's a hard, so Brett, just speaking personally, it's a really hard question for me to answer. It's every family, every individual is different. It really can vary in terms of what was their experience beforehand. We welcome families that have been sometimes in refugee camps for over 20 years. And so the children of those family members were born and raised in those refugee camps. And that's a different experience than what we're witnessing right now on television with the situation in Afghanistan. And by no means is either of those situations inherently more severe, or I guess what I mean is it's hard for me to speak on behalf of those individuals is what I'm trying to get to. What we definitely see on a daily basis with all of the families that we welcome and that we serve is a tremendous amount of resilience and a tremendous amount of perseverance and a commitment to rebuilding their lives and supporting their families. And what we hear continuously from parents is that they want what we all want for our children, a better future. And they're committed to making sure that their families have those opportunities.
The situation in Afghan is fairly recent. It happened quickly too. Have you been receiving individuals, actual human beings here? And do you have any update for us for where you are right now with this whole process?
So your listeners might be familiar with the SIV, right? It's in the news quite a bit in the last handful of weeks. Those are the special immigrant visa holders. That was a program created by Congress in response to interpreters in Afghanistan and Iraq working alongside our armed forces. And as a country, we've been resettling SIVs from Afghanistan and Iraq for over a decade. What is going to be new is, in addition to the SIVs, is the refugees coming from Afghanistan. So those are the individuals who have been forced to flee for their own safety out of fear of persecution and fear of their lives. That process of evacuating those individuals and having refugees into be part of the response that our country is providing to the situation in Afghanistan is, the services are the same for both SIVs and refugees. So there's no difference there. Just they're in a different process, and it's all in the weeds on that part, Brett, in terms of the, I don't know. I mean, if you wanted to post, I don't know if your listeners are on HBO This Week Tonight, John Oliver, he has some, over the years, he's done a handful of videos on the SIV process and just how lengthy it is. And so if you wanted to just kind of throw a link to that,
we're not going to be able to understand it in just a few minutes.
Exactly. It's John Oliver. So I don't know if obviously his language can be not PG sometimes. So I don't know if that's a good link for you guys.
Okay.
But yeah, that's the main difference. I don't know how to summarize it. It's SIVs from Afghanistan, we've been welcoming and serving as a country for well over a decade. It's Afghan refugees that is what's changing right now.
Gotcha. Okay. As we sort of near the end of our conversation here, and we're visiting with Matthew Westerbeck, Director of Refugee Services for Catholic Charities of Oregon. Are any of these people excited about the future? I mean, some of them are here by choice. Some of them are here by requirements out of a state of survival. There's probably lots of different varying degrees of reasons they end up here in the USA under these circumstances at this time. Do some of them really want to embrace the USA? Are they excited about being Americans, the culture, the opportunity? Is anyone fired up about getting through this process and starting new lives?
You know, a little bit ago, I was talking about volunteering and volunteerism and outpouring support and the need that we're going to have as service providers to really rely on the community engagement and be partners with us. And a story that comes to mind, just recently, we were asked to write a letter on behalf of a high school senior. So this was earlier this year, applying for college. And he and his family had arrived about 5 years ago as refugees from Iraq. And they were partnered with volunteers who've been really walking alongside them. And then they built this really close friendship. And they're still in close relationship and close friendship. And the volunteer called to tell me that the update of the son who just arrived in the United States 5 years ago, now has a full ride scholarship to college, wanting to share that news of their success and that individual's success. Those stories, again, I was mentioning the perseverance and the resilience and the desire to rebuild their lives and pursue their dreams. We see that every day. And we see that from the minute we are welcoming folks at the airport and working with them in the months ahead. I think that's a wonderful example of ability for our country to provide those opportunities to individuals who had to leave their homes.
Something we should be thankful for sure. I do want to ask a political question because Governor Brown is a Democrat. She has essentially made a public statement about welcoming refugees to the state of Oregon from Afghanistan, but also same thing has been done, for instance, in Utah, which is a predominantly red state, if you will. Do you see the acceptance of refugees as a political issue in any way?
I don't. If you look at the history of refugee resettlement, Brett, in our country, going back to the end of World War II, you look at more recent history, Senator Mark Hatfield from Oregon is a huge proponent of the refugee resettlement program, speaking specifically towards the response to the refugee crisis in Southeast Asia at the end of the Vietnam War. Traditionally and historically, you look back, refugee resettlement has always been extraordinarily bipartisan. And that definitely covers whoever has been in office, Republican or Democrat. And we have seen that time and time again in the last handful of years here in Oregon, working closely with volunteers, community members, and definitely legislators in Salem who have been really supportive of Oregon taking the lead in the country and making sure that newly arrived refugees really have the support that they need as they rebuild their lives.
Well said, Matthew. Lastly, is there anything that you guys need and that you want everyone to know?
We're incredibly thankful for the community support and really encourage anybody who is interested in learning more how to be part of our local response to this humanitarian crisis to go to our website, CatholicCharitiesOregon.org. On the front page, you'll see links to learn more information about how to get involved. And we'd love to have your support and your help.
Matthew, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Brett. Really appreciate the time.